Okay, we're back. This is LA Lit, and I should mention that LA Lit has a website. That's www.la-lit.com. We're back with Jane Sprague, and she's going to read to us from part of the Port of Los Angeles project called Fuck Your Pastoral.
Thanks. And for those of you who are here in the audience, I brought some visual aids, which we taped to the wall. And the first image is of a billboard that I wish the photograph did it justice to how truly rad it was. This was a billboard that was commissioned by the Surfrider Foundation, who, for those of you who are familiar with like beach cleanups and things like that, they're a big part of cleaning up the beaches in California. And it usually happens. There's one day where there's a statewide cleanup, but then there are many others that happen. And I know some people who are here have participated in that. But anyway, this billboard in Long Beach was consisted of trash that was picked up in Long Beach as part of a Surfrider beach cleanup date and attached to a billboard, you know, a regular billboard size billboard with chicken wire. And so I, you know, absolutely loved walking by it because it had a lot to do with my project, and it was just this beautiful piece of art that was there in what is typically a commercial space. So I loved that about it too. And it was designed by an LA-based design company called Saatchi & Saatchi. And so that is, there's an image of that billboard in this chapbook. And then the other picture is of a horse whose name is Joni. And my son took that picture of her on my parents' farm last summer. And then the other picture is, I sort of continually love to rip images off of the official sites for the Port of Los Angeles and the Port of Long Beach, and that's one of those. It's of a huge super container ship. Long Beach, in particular, is trying to become a port that can accept what are called, I believe they're called super container ships, and they are intended to carry much more freight than your typical container ship can carry, and there's only a very few ports in the world that can accommodate ships of that size, and Long Beach has a huge engineering plan that's already underway so that they will specialize in that, in those ships. Nevertheless, fuck your pastoral. This is for Colonel. In summer, we return to horses. We are horses. We are the flat hand, a horse licking pancake. A chicken eats sand. We are the chicken and the sand, the grit of necessary. We are the bound coop, its dirtied edge also. We are all these things at the same time as inside the city creeps. We are the soiled heron, the oiled grebes. We are every water bird, night flyer, and also the eye of the grebe, the blue of its foot. We are the crack of the turns, Bolsa Chica all over. It's in us, but still more so, we are the flat hand, the horse tongue, that softness, that wet. We are the stick of oat to molasses. We are also, at the same time, the soot. We are also, at the same time, the worker, tearing down the facade, sand blasting signage, meats, dry goods, provisions. We are the winding tracks, the train yard, and also the lip of the worker, blowing his smoke, her smoke, us, ours, 10 minutes till mix up cement. We are the tenant, come lovely, come high heel, come suit. We are the pen inking the lease. We are the blue black ink spreading the making all over. In summer, we go home, but what is home? What is home? A question. We go back there, back east, go forward, but it's back. We go home, watch frogs in the storm drain. We watch it dry from wet to mud to cracking dirt to dust to nothing. Nothing but a drain ditch once more. All frogs, all gone. We watch swallows. We keep calling them sparrows and keep getting it wrong. This is the sparrow, our city, our backyard bird, home, inside us, inside the mind of the thinking of us. We go home in wellness. We go, our bags packed, stacked, flying open. We go together and apart. We go, we return, we go again, we return. We grow more and more confused. Which home of us? Which is this? We spin, first this way, then that way. We want to fix a place on the map, but we can't help the feel. Wake up in the garden, both sides, both flowered. We keep waking and being blossoms nodding, head folded, sepal dropping, petals slim nectar whisked out. As we are also slim tongue, softer sphinx moth, louder humming bird, and the brook and the thistle, the elder berry. We keep being all these things at the same time. It is too much knowing of watching. It is too much fast, too much softly. It is too much as the neck of a horse is too much, as the ship of us backyard too much, as the delicate of mine too much, as too much of mine, too much of wanting. It is all too much. Even as haying the field, as the gasoline's tractor, as the snakes runneth over, as vultures come pick, even as frighten the goslings, the gander angers the man, even as the man brick gentle as man, as we puzzle and fix. We women, we apron, we apron working too much. We children, we digging too much. We digging, we stacking up, soldiers, their plastic green, their soldier plastic dusting. As over there, some other, their soldier plastic dusting, moves over muscle. But here, we digging, we haying, we watching the sky. We fire rockets, build a very tiny submarine. We together, we all this together now, breaking apart. We all breaking we all, as we are not all, as we are not this, we. Moving backward to the place of relations broken and sold. Moving back to the place of my belongings uprooted, back to all my alive there and with me. Back to the place of all my relations, sound, in body, in mind. Back to the place of the living and the dead to walk among me now. I was this thing, thing fitting together, and also the aperture opening close. I was the retrofit gleam in its eye. I was the wave under foremast and the knuckles at wheel. I was all these things at the same time, moving forward, backward, still. I movement had no such lifting of rhythms as my argument passed through eye teeth, as my argument entered eye ear, as my counter gaze glanced backward. I glance, moving forward, moving backward again, repeat into stillness. I was all these things. I was the hand of the child placing the ink, and this child was also me and my child. There was no ownership between us. I was regarding myself, the hand of the child placing the ink, drawing pictures on skin. I was his skin and her skin. I was also the image fixed there and looking. Blink of the spider, turn of the dolphin, chip of the steel, spin of the turnstile. I was the gelatin holding it close, holding my image to myself. I was all these things at the same time and none of it at all. I was a dream of myself, or was I, righting the wrong, severing slowly, singing to myself. I was singing the herons ungreasy, sing ships move backwards slowly, sing oil skim off us water, sing oil skim off us grebes, sing sea otter's breath back into, sing mucus from lungs, sing derricks to rusting, sing gears into freeze, I singing with a closed mouth, singing thinking, sing no more anger between me, sing no more stillness, no breakwater. Sing come away slowly. Sing carry me home to no home. Sing sound of the breath in my ocean. Sing I am the ocean between. Sing make and unmake disorder. Sing lithium, sweet breeze. Sing balm. Sing cool cloth to your forehead, my forehead. Sing quiet down visions. Sing now, raise up. Sing now, raise up. Sing now, raise up bones. Sing now, knit bone. Sing now, delicate grass. Sing now, softer. This was my voice. This was my wind, my hover, my spitting the sound, my slow now, my leave us, my sleeping, my bookend, my bounty, my overload hull, my cranes of metal and wing, my atoms fixing to listen, my black jellies, my red tide, my anchovy phosphorescing, my reach, my withdraw. I was all this and running. Still, I was running the turbines backward to flow. I was running the carbine, the platelets. I was running the cooler from empty to stocked to full to feeding the crew, the sailors set drifting. I was undoing the cramp in their belly. I was undoing the cockroaches' feast, undoing the open, undoing the beds, the bunks, the landed and wet. I was undoing all of this as I was unchocking the missiles snug in their holds. Undoing hands of the volunteers, I was unvolunteering. Undo reading the learn, undo language, undo hunger. I was undoing all this as I undid the spool, the radio's wheel, unmagnetizing tape, unzipping the case, I emptying notebook, erasing the names, unwriting the manifest, unnaming the ship, I unforging metal, unriveting plates, I unbruising the shoulder, I withdrawing the balm. I became unnecessary. I became without myself. I became a column holding up cedar, a column holding up marble. I became a prefabricated steel I-beam, I soft as metal to melting. I became melting. I became ore restored to the earth. I became the spine of 17 small children. I, the spine of these children, curled into darkness. I became the rope lifting slowly, the rope hitched to their waist. I became the selling undoing, the selling of 17 untouchable children, girl children, holding up marble. I became myself backwards, became them. I became them unmarbled, became them unowned. I was doing all this while I down in I Valley off of I-88. Became the rasp of the cock's crow. I became the rooster colonel again. Became before the lead bullet, before the chasing with spangles, before the sharp of his spur. I became the spur too, and the spur in our hearts set against him. Became his feathers and wind under eye wing. Soot in the wing, in the wind, sifting to water. And the slow drip of asbestos, slow drip of tamoxifen, slow drip of the cave, stalactite, soda, straw angel, wing, slab, bacon, cave, popcorn. I became all these things at the same time, knit of the thistle, span between finger, wing, web between thumb, line of the palmist, line of iris, line of lens cap, line of time flipped backwards, twisting to breach. I became dust and soot and the sticky of coxcomb, honey, mud, milk. I became, I was, I therefore, and so too. I also, I anyhow, I loved, I slept, I was, and am still, all. But before I lay down to nest in, before I settled and doze, I took mine hand, mine others. I took them, I folded. I tucked the shirt to the belly, to the child, to the bedsheet, to window, to water, to glow. I caressed. I caressed backward and slowly, undid all the doing, unwrote my name inky, unwrote mine page, unkissed, unlifted my toe step, my tiptoe, my foothold, my webbing, wing, hustle, chat. I lifted these from places I'd marked in, and people. Unpeopled heart broken, unlistened heart secret, unspoken heart hurting, undid, and then unopened the port, unopened break water. I opened, I breathed, I was, I, I, A now, oh dear, oh come away, oh come away, oh come, oh ocean, oh crevice, caressing, oh I, oh only, oh now, oh, I'm, oh, I only, I alone, I always, I every, I all. But still, I was not done with we. I had more to do. More work, more travel, more touching eye hands, more touching doorknob, subway, rail, more touching transmission, more wing, web, wheel, more eye, lettered and named, colored in. Still, questions flew up in eye, noticing, too, how we eye became strange to one another, became container ships moving into and out of the same ports all over. We became directed and flowed, became our bilge water and ballast also. We became the containers, tipped, stacked together, commiserate, containing, contained. So many ships together, utterly separate. We became in the mouths of, became perpetuated on MTV, NGC, Lego. We became all over. Were we or were we containers contained, moving, mingling and all within our each, our metal porous borders, remembering almost nothing of what we told ourselves, whether we were Los Angeles, Seoul, New Orleans, Beijing, Gdansk, Vancouver, whether we agreed or did not agree with the expansiveness of our we, whether or not we felt we were flexing certain torque, whether we were or were not electric bodies fitting space. There was a same thirst, a same want of the lungs to fill and cleanly, a same want of smaller spaces among us to be touched, more or less lovingly, with more or less friction. Whether we wanted this or not, it was there, was us, defining us we, all the time now. We became strange to ourselves and each other, stranger, desiring knowing and being known, desiring this all the time now, moving as we did, Caspian, Pacific, Atlantic, Black, Gulf. We mixed and became more so, but also singular, mixing singular alone. Thank you.
Before we open it up, I just have one request, and that is that you talk to us about the I and the we.
Oh, to talk to you
or
about
the we and the I?
The we and the I?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of we writing, you know, and especially, too, among, you know, our contemporaries and people I read. And, too, just this idea of the we, like, even with this chapbook, I mean... So, I'm becoming totally inarticulate. Okay, so there's maybe a Zen or a Buddhist notion of we or oneness, of us all, you know, of an essential humanness or spiritualness. I mean, I don't know enough about Zen Buddhism to, you know, speak more in a more informed way about that. But certainly as a spiritual kind of consideration, the idea that we're in it together, or that, you know, the problems are our problems. And so to what extent do we continue to add to more of the problems of the we, or do to what extent do we use kind of our life force to fix up the we or make the we better? And is that just totally false? I mean, what we, who's every day? You know, I'm sure your every day is in my every day. You know, having to do with so many factors, having to do with gender, race, class, nation. So I think part of the we writing in the book is sort of working out some of my distrust of we think anyway, and also extending we writing, you know, which would be, I don't know if that deals with the we. And then the I-ness, I guess my answer to the sort of the troubled idea of a we is the I, that the only, you know, and this is going to sound totally cliched, but sort of like if you want to change the world, like get your world right. You know, like you can change yourself and how you treat other people and what you do. So that thinking about the I is a very sort of really reduced kind of unit of exchange. Like you're the I in the culture or in the we. You can control that. You can control what you do, whether that's what you buy, how you act, how you write, you know, how you participate in literature and, you know, what that means and how you either extend that or don't. And then that kind of connecting up to what I think could maybe be the more radical understanding of the we is to think of it as the I, that you're, you know, that the I is like just part of the we. That seems like it's totally cheese ball new age, like whatever I just said, but you know, that's the thinking to kind of make, to kind of make the I as big as I could possibly make it be, you know? So, and two, I should also say that this text, lists on the very back page a bunch of source text. And so I've taken lines, you know, right out of these other texts and responded to some of the we and the I thinking also in those books, like Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass and Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse Five. Who else? Tom Stoppard is a British playwright. He has a play called The Real Thing, a tour guide from a tour we took at Sequoia National Park. Gertrude Stein, Tender Buttons, and some other people. So, you know, in terms of extending the we or the I, like those are all other people's words I have just taken and used in the book. And so that's a very kind of literal sort of challenging of both of those things. So,
thank you for talking about that.
Well, I think we're going to open up to questions from the audience.
Okay, great.
So hopefully if anybody has any questions, please wander on up. Remember to turn on the microphone, say who you are.
Hello? Wait, is this working? Yeah. I was just kind of as a follow-up to that question, I did notice the Whitman-esque elements of the poem, and I was wondering if you were responding to kind of in conversation with Whitman or what kind of conversation you saw yourself as having with Whitman, if you were trying to rewrite or revisit him in certain ways. I'd just be curious to hear you comment on that.
Oh, sure. Oops, sorry. I'm whacking the microphone. Thanks, Tova. That's a really good question. I think I'd say probably more in conversation with Whitman, you know, in as much as that kind of with Leaves of Grass and that sort of, I mean, I want to say like American notion of sort of taking, I mean, I think of that book as a very American book, and I don't know why I necessarily say that, but I do, but yet it, even within that kind of an understanding, it takes a bigger I-ness, you know, it takes on more than just that in what it's trying to do. And so I think actually even more than just thinking about Whitman, I'm also thinking about Lisa Jarno's book, Ring of Fire, and how she takes on the Whitman tradition and sort of, again, is in conversation with, but then also reworks it, retools it, and does it differently. So it's like this sort of long extension of we's that I'm involved in, you know, in bringing him up and including some of his words in the chapbook. It's like talking to him, but also talking to Lisa. And well, not like I'm talking to her, but talking back to that work. And so in a we, in like the we, in a way that, again, can make that, make itself bigger so that it makes a chapbook bigger than just what it can do in its limited pages, that it's also trying to say that it's connected to all these other writings that also are engaged in this kind of work, in my understanding, or at least somehow have informed this work. So, I don't, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, in the, towards like the last fifth of the piece or something, towards the end of the very strict I section, you know, you're, as you said before, you were becoming I all, you know.
Right.
And then there's a switch where you say, you know, but I was not done with we.
Right. Right.
And you come back to a place where you're very like on, you know, on the line considering how we, I, right. How do
right.
we, you know, how do we come down to the level of I, but in the same time, how do I, as you were saying before, how does I become more of a we? So you're kind of,
right.
I mean, even with the text, I think it's really great that you say, you know, these are the source texts that I'm dialoguing with, mm-hmm. and you're considering like how these texts, I and we, and then in your own work, kind of dialoguing as this, if this text could be taken as both a we and an I, how that works with the other literature that's doing that.
So. Right. And I actually, this book ended, I think, earlier, but then I got sort of very neurotic actually around questions of colonialism and appropriation. And then I was like, wait a minute, I can't like take ownership for all this stuff. Like then I'm just continuing this other thing that I totally don't agree with. So is this book doing that? So part of my critique would be perhaps too strong, or maybe, and suspicion would also be too strong, but my wariness around we writing is that, you know, well, I mean, what we? Are you really, how are you part or not part? And so a desire to examine that, you know, the ways in which our existence isn't collective. You know, I mean, well, that's not the right way to say it, but that experience isn't collective, I guess is a better way to say it. That there's so many different ways of being alive and in the world and in culture. And I guess part of what this book is, you know, trying to contend with, and part of the whole project of the Port of Los Angeles book is trying to contend with how you reconcile all those parts of ourselves, you know, now, in this moment. You know, how you sort of like fess up to what you come with, and how you also try to sort of improve what you find, you know, what is here. I don't know if improve is the right way to say it, but you know, what you choose to participate in and what you choose to not engage in is huge and has huge consequences. And two, you know, the book in its I and we-ness also is, you know, overtly suspicious of pastoral notions and nature writing. And so too, to think about Whitman's poetry now, you know, we're in such a different place, you know, at just with our America, you know, what we live in. And so that how do you sort of make the pastoral anything more than like a literary idea, you know, because I kind of don't really believe it exists anywhere anymore. So yeah, I know now this feels like the like really like yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is, he says that over and over again, Whitman will describe some sort of crime or bad thing that's happened, you know, like some horrible thing, and then he'll say, you know, it's all of us, we all did that, you know, like the collective. Whitman will say that the collective, is sort of responsible, and James, C.L.R. James's point is that that makes it hard to look at the fact that specific individuals do bad things and other people don't do the things, and if we see a collective, so then if you were thinking about like say the Port of Los Angeles or in Long Beach, like all the pollution, it's not really like, you know, like we, like some big collective is responsible for like polluting that or something, you know, like there's a specificity to that. So I guess my question is, how would that relate to you?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, I have been a member of different collectives, and that's why, too, I like to reduce it down to the I, because you really only have a degree of agency that you can kind of measure or look at and then use when you're looking at the unit of the I, of the self, you know, and that might seem really simplistic in the way to think about it, but yeah, we don't all pollute the planet. We didn't all participate in the Holocaust, for example. I was reading a piece in the New Yorker about a new book talking about the history of Europe and what happened in Europe after the Holocaust, and the way the author, whose name escapes me at the moment, describes it as kind of this intentional forgetting and not talking about it. That in the years right after World War II, the European countries, people weren't brought to trial. It wasn't talked about. And so that to me seems like more of a we negotiation. Like, yes, at the unit of the I, I'm not going to talk about those things, even though I may have firsthand knowledge about things that happened, or relatives or loved ones that things happened to. So there is sort of this bewilderment, I think, in that space of the we and the I that you mentioned in terms of Leaves of Grass and Whitman's writing and C.L.R. James, you know, his critique of that, which I would have to say I probably would be sympathetic to. that it's also my bewilderment, you know, living in the port and seeing, you know, on a really huge scale what my consumer acts do, you know, just the bigness of it and the bigness for us as a nation. And I'm going to be rusty on the statistics, and this is starting to feel like very heavy, like ecology talk. But, you know, the fact that we do consume as a nation something like, what is, like a huge percent of, 25%. I'm looking to Jen because I feel like she would know. Yeah, I want to say it's like 20% of, 25% of fossil fuels. And, you know, how do we get away with that? So that to me does seem like responsibility in the we at the level of the I, you know, and that there are choices you can make within that. And also in thinking about writing, I would say that that's also an aesthetic kind of choice to, you know, I couldn't really write you a lovely sonnet about the pastoral. Well, maybe I could, but it would be really hard for me. And it would be full of irony and meanness because I wouldn't be believing it. Whereas I think there is another section of American literature, you know, people writing, contemporary people who really would embrace that and love that and think it's quite lovely, you know? So, yeah. I hope that answered it, but.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
Hopefully there are more questions. Please remember to turn on the mic. I think we picked up your question anyway from room mics. I just cranked up the volume, the input volume really quickly, but yeah. I didn't realize until you were like halfway in, and then I was like, okay, well.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Hi, Jane. This is Jen Hoffer. They asked us for our name. So I'm saying my name. I have two questions. One is about form, and one is about process. Which would you like me to ask? I'm only going to ask one.
I guess form, because I think that'd be a harder one for me to answer.
Okay. I'll try and formulate it in a really hard way. Let me ramble on for 15 minutes first. I was very struck by your use of the sentence. Even in the breakdown of the sentence is a very strong presence. And I wanted to ask you about that choice and how that might relate or not relate for you to trade and ports and those kinds of questions.
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I think about that too. And I was having this conversation actually earlier with Diane Ward, who looks like she had to scooch out. But yeah, I really love the meditative capacity that sentences and multiple sentences and sentences layered one upon another have. And also, because I'm not any good at writing prose, you know, at all. And so kind of the rules that the sentence comes with or gets to flaunt around, like in a paragraph or an essay, I suck at. But what I can do with the sentence is something more incantatory and meditative. And two, in having to do with shipping in the port, more and more in my writing, I'm really wanting things to be clear, to be really, really clear and to be understood. And that's something I'd struggle with because then the whole middle section of the book that I did not read from doesn't work at the unit of the sentence at all. It's very fragmented and collaged and much like the billboard of the trash, it looks much more like things found because it was mostly just compiled from field notes and things I found, especially during the storms last winter. But yes, I think, I mean, my choice on the way it looks is that I like how the sentence can allow the narrative a certain kind of argument that keeps on flowing easily, that I think when my work is more collage-based or fragmentary, the argument, well, maybe it's not working as an argument, just that what the piece looks like makes its own argument. But in terms of ports and languages and people coming from all over, that also, you know, goes with that sense of wanting to be understood or wanting the language to be clear so that it could be translated, you know? I mean, and I don't mean that in a literal way. I mean that in terms of the port, that the clearness of it is part of negotiating the too muchness of it because it is too much. It's too much to say in a fragmented way or even in a lovely, constructed, essayistic way. Just the too muchness of it, it's like some horrible equation or something that keeps blooming out other things you have to talk about. So, yeah.
Okay. Something going back to the eye. Although you said that there's a positive aspect of the eye as opposed to the we in a way. At the same time, there's this great section in the middle eye part, for lack of a better thing to call it, where I is undoing and reversing and going back all right. These things. That's really, really powerful part of that. And that, in a way, makes the I into something totally, in a way, erasing what we would normally think of as I and the ego and the hero moving through the world and like this, that I really like.
Well, I think, thank you.
Yeah.
And I really love that part of the book too. And I should say that is a total complete ripoff of Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five and a section from Slaughterhouse-Five called Talk Tick, where time moves backwards. And Vonnegut was actually a soldier in World War II and participated in, I'm pretty sure, the bombing of Dresden in Germany. And so that section of the book, just as if you were to watch a movie backwards, it does everything backwards. And Vonnegut, who I'm not particularly well read in, but I do love more of his writing on politics and his feistiness and resistance and ways of speaking up, that section is really very beautiful and poetic. And so bombs that are dropped go back up into the planes. It's like, oh, look, this strange thing is happening. Here are these planes flying backward over the country. And look, these metal things are lifting up into them. And it goes all the way back to the bombs being manufactured, which were done in the United States primarily by women workers in factories. And so it's really a beautiful piece. And so I just took that as a formal choice and mimicked it in my own way. And also thinking very much about yoga, which is also part of why the sentence functions so wonderfully for this kind of incantatory writing, because the sentence allows a kind of rhythm of breath that is enforced. And so in yoga, as I understand it, at the unit of the eye, yoga is really about union with God, right? And God is just this, you know, that we're all part of God. And so that kind of thinking was very much in my mind about the I. Like, if you accept that as a truth, that you are part of God in whatever way you want to imagine God, that it happens, you know, within you and at the level of the breath, which is, you know, such a huge part of yoga as well, that it seemed just natural to me to extend that into my writing and then to undo all these things that in 2005 were done. You know, so some very factual things like, I mean, how do we as a collective deal with, you know, human trafficking? You know, are we participants in human trafficking if we're not buying humans? Where does one go to buy a sex slave? I don't know. Where does one go to buy a domestic worker or an indentured servant? I mean, clearly people are in the know. And so this a story I overheard on the radio about untouchable children in India working in the marble mines, and that a lot of the marble that's being brought out of these mines in India actually ends up as tombstones in the United States. And sort of the sick irony of that, that these girls in this truly hideous existence are mining tombstones, you know, like for us in the United States. And you know, that you then do participate in that if you're buying a headstone, I guess. But it's like, it's the too bigness of it, of the port. And so I just felt like there was some kind of moment that I was trying to either write into in a different way that dealt with exactly that, you know, Vonnegut's sort of utopia of undoing the war in a really literal way, really undoing it in a really literal way. And then that space in yoga at the level of the breath and thinking about God and your participation in God, that what would you do if you could kind of be God that could fix things, what would you do? So, but that was also the section of the book where I got worried that I was participating in colonialism, you know, in how dare I nominate myself to do all these things, the I self. But what I ultimately was imagining was a bigger, like a totality of I, if that, you know, a totality of I that was a utopic I, like a utopic totality. I, everyone, that, you know, to go back to Stan's question before from the James article that I are not all responsible for the same set of choices or actions or things that are done. But if that's what you inherit, then what? You know? Yeah.
Well, I want to say thank you, Jane, for coming on the show, and definitely thank you for everyone who came and all you people that asked fabulous questions.
Yeah, thank you.
And please, everyone, visit palmpress.org. Check out the books that Jane has published. Also find her two chapbooks. I don't know if you can find that through Palm Press or...
I think they're not available through the press website, but if you write to me, I will send them to you. Yeah.
Great. Well, yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much to Jane and everybody. Thanks so much for supporting Elliot.
Yeah, thank you for having me.